Well, hi, it's great to be with you on this Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday. The title for my message today is Because He Lives. You know, many years ago, a teacher who some thought of as dangerous was executed. This guy had gathered a large following. Some saw him as a revolutionary. Wherever he went, the crowds followed, hanging on every word he spoke. The word about him began to spread. People said he healed the sick. Some people even said he raised the dead. The greater his following grew, the more he became cause for concern. Charges were brought against him. Charges were disputed. And then, as these things often do, it got political. And this man was executed by the Romans in a manner they favoured. Crucifixion. It was a humiliating death that was meant to make an example of people who stepped out of line. Some of his followers turned up for that. Most didn't. They'd ran. One of them, one of his inner circle, denied even knowing him. And that was that. His followers, they scattered, they went into hiding. You know, they pinned all of their hopes on this man. And when he died, their hopes and their dreams were shattered. See, when the revolutionary dies, the revolution's over. When the man you thought was going to usher in a new age is executed, the dream dies with him. Let me tell you, that has happened many times before this happened. It's happened many times since. But this one we remember on Easter Sunday, was different. For this man, this Jesus, his execution was not the end. In fact, it was the beginning. His movement did not end with his death, but instead his movement spread across the known world. It transformed society. It shaped the world we now know. Millions upon millions of people throughout history have had their lives transformed by him. I have. How? Because he lives. He died on a cross. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose again. And the world was never the same again. Let's read together the account of this day as it was recorded by Luke. Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, because, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marvelling at what had happened. Can you imagine this moment from their shoes? Everything that they'd been hoping for, it was over. 3 years of following someone you believed was going to change the world. 3 years of your life where you gave up everything and left it behind to follow him. And then he's taken from you and executed like a criminal. They go with spices to anoint the body. Traditional, it's what you do when someone had died there. There was nothing unusual in that at all, but then you arrive and the stone placed there by the Romans, sealed by the military, is open and the body's gone. When the women went to tell the disciples, what they were talking about was so outlandish. Of course they didn't believe them. Of course they questioned it, because we know this, they knew this. People don't just rise from the dead. They knew that. But then Peter has that spark and he runs and he wants to see for himself. Jesus then, after this, appears to them many times. He spoke with them, he ate with them, he commissioned them with the task of telling the world about him. These men who had run, hidden and denied, became vocal, fearless, and committed to this message until their last breath. And the world was transformed. Because he lives, the revolution never died. Instead, it gained momentum that spread across the globe and continues to spread today. Jesus is the revolutionary who gave his life to save the world. That was his purpose. That was his mission. That was what he was heading towards from the very moment his ministry began. You know, some people think of Jesus as just a teacher, someone who came to show us a better way to live. That's a very partial view because it misses the point, because most of the teaching Jesus was giving was to point us to who he is and why he came. He came to show us the way, yes, but he also came to open the way. He came to open the way to God. He said he was the door, that entering through him is the way to be saved and the way to God. He is the doorway because in his death he opened the door to heaven for all of us. In his death he bore the sins of every person. In his death he took on everything you've ever done wrong. Every selfish thought, every evil act, everything you've done to hurt other people for your gain, every time you've done what you wanted to do instead of what was right, every time you've messed up, every time you've failed, every time you've let yourself down, he took it on himself. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He took it because only he could take it. Every time we've turned away from the truth and gone our own way in life, every sin that has separated us from God and destined us to an eternity separated from God, Jesus took on himself. He took it to give you another chance. His death was for you. Because he died, you can be forgiven if you come to him. But because he lives, you can experience a brand new life. It was the resurrection of Jesus that birthed the church. Right across the world, people began to receive this message that Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. And more people began to realize and see that this was true. Let me tell you, Christianity does not exist because of a structure, because of a system, because somebody wanted to start a religion. It doesn't exist because people took the message of Jesus and changed it. Christianity doesn't even exist because of the Bible. The Bible exists because of Jesus. Christianity exists because the tomb is empty. The Bible exists because Jesus is alive. Christianity has endured persecution, intellectual arrogance, corruption, and so much more. And it survived because of the fundamental truth that stands above all of those problems. Jesus Christ is alive, and Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Maybe this morning, this is a truth you've not accepted, or a truth you've not received. Regardless, let me tell you something I am convinced of. Because he lives, you need him. You absolutely need him. Because he lives, there is nobody, nobody like Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." I wonder, what is your greatest need? What is mankind's greatest need? You know, our greatest need is not a healthy economy. It's not an end to this lockdown. It's not even a cure for the coronavirus. Mankind's greatest need is Jesus. You need Jesus. If I could say one thing to people who don't know him or follow him, it would simply be that. Very simple. You need him. Not, it's a good idea to follow Jesus, or Jesus will make your life better. Not, come to Jesus and he will solve all your problems. It's not, think about following Jesus, that's the very best way to live your life. Not even, hey, did you know Jesus can set you free from addiction? All those things are true. None of them are the point. No, the point is, you need him, because without him, you are absolutely lost. There is nobody like him. There never has been. And there never will be. You know, in human history, I looked this up. There's a statistic put together by some people called the Population Reference. They estimate that around about 107 billion people have ever lived in this world. 107 billion. Don't know where you get that figure from, but let's go with it. I'm sure they put some work in to sort it out. Out of 107 billion, not one is like him. In this world, you have 107 billion people on one hand, and this one single individual on the other. You have everybody who's ever lived, and Jesus. See, I think people misunderstand Jesus or struggle to understand Jesus and who he is because we try and understand him like he's one of us. Let me tell you, there is no comparison you can make. Jesus is unique in history. You can't compare him to anyone. We can try and look for someone to compare Jesus to, but let me tell you, it can't be done. There is nobody like him. There is no other religious leader like him. Buddha? He died. He was cremated. Bits of Buddha's body are still knocking around in places like the Temple of the Tooth in Sri Lanka. Guess what's in the Temple of the Tooth? Muhammad died and was buried. He's buried in a place that is now called the Mosque of the Prophet in Midian, Saudi Arabia. Buddha has a tomb. Muhammad has a tomb. Why? They're both dead. Their bodies are both still there. Buddha, dead. Muhammad, dead. Plato, dead. Marx, dead. Nietzsche, dead. John Lennon, dead. Imagine that. They all have tombs. They all have graves that you can go and visit what's left of them. If you so desire, you can go see a tooth. Other religious and philosophical leaders have come and gone, risen and fallen, but none of them have come back from the dead to carry on their work like Jesus did. Where is the tomb of Jesus? Well, the answer to that is, we don't know. There's a place you can go to in Jerusalem called the Garden Tomb, but it's kind of just a guess. It wasn't even found until 1876. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, also in Jerusalem, is another supposed site, with an even stranger guess behind it, based on what one person told Emperor Constantine's mum in 326 AD. Frankly, we don't know whether either of those are right. We just don't know. Why? Because the early Christians didn't care where his grave was. Because they knew it was empty. They'd seen him. Every other Jewish prophet who had lived before Jesus, their graves are considered holy places. You can visit them. But not Jesus. It would have been culturally appropriate and normal for those who followed Jesus to make something special about his tomb. But they didn't, because it was empty. Even if you go to the place called the Garden Tomb today, on the door it says, "He is not here. He is risen." The very words those angels spoke when the women saw them on that first Easter Sunday. You know, the resurrection would have been the easiest thing in the world for the Roman and Jewish authorities to disprove. All they needed to do was to show people the body. But they couldn't, because it wasn't there. See, here's the thing about the resurrection. Nobody was really expecting it. Jesus did the unexpected. When he died, his followers thought that was the end of it. They'd visit his tomb. They'd mourn his loss. They'd go into hiding. There was this concept of a resurrection in the end days, but one person rising again into an eternal body first? It was unique. Christ stands alone in this. Those that Jesus raised from the dead, like Lazarus, he died again when the time came. But Jesus will never die. No, Jesus ascended to heaven, we're told. He sits at the right hand of God and he will return. His post-resurrection appearance, the transformed lives of his disciples, not to mention the continuation of Christianity in the face of the greatest adversaries, make this resurrection unique in history. Let me tell you, because he lives, you need him. Because he is the only way to God. Because he is the only one who is man and God. He is the only bridge between the two. John 14:6 says, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because he lives, he proves that to be true. If he'd said it and died and never risen, there wouldn't be any Christian faith. It would have been another incident in the history books, but that's it. Let me tell you, those guys would not have carried the message if they were not convinced. But because he lives, the world was never the same again. The fact that Jesus lives is what my entire life is built around. Because he lives, I have hope for my future. And so can you. The Apostle Paul, who met the risen Jesus, was absolutely convinced of this. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 25, Paul says this. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If we are found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God and the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. All enemies, including death, will be put under his feet. Because he lives, you shall live also. If you come to him, if you make him your Lord, you can be part of the eternal life that Jesus is offering. Paul is telling us here that if there was no resurrection, what would be the point of any of this? Christianity would literally mean nothing. Because it all hinges around the resurrection. Let me tell you, you can't really be a Christian and deny the resurrection of Jesus or the coming resurrection of his people, because that's the entire point of being a Christian. If Christ had not been raised, Paul said, our faith is futile. But because he lives, our faith is glorious. If Christ had not been raised, we are still in our sins. But because he lives, we can be forgiven of all of our sin when we come to him. We can come to him with our sin, first because he dealt with it on the cross, but also because he can offer us a new life because he lives. He is able to offer it. If Christ was not raised, the preaching of the gospel would be in vain. But because he lives, the preaching of the gospel is the most wonderful thing, because it changes lives, not just here and now, God forever. We don't just preach hope in this life, but also in the next. If all we had was hope in this life, whew, what a flimsy hope that would be. There's a great word used by King Solomon in his book called Ecclesiastes. This word, hevel. You can read it in Ecclesiastes 1:2. I'm sure you've heard this before. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Some versions will say meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The Hebrew word here is hevel, and it means vapor. It's a little word that expresses the importance of everything we live in, how tentative everything we cling to is. The brother of Jesus, James, would express life in exactly the same way as Solomon. James 4:14, he says, "Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Let me tell you, everything you can see, touch, taste, own, it's so fleeting. Everything we think we can depend on, it is here for a moment, then it's gone. Like vapor. Even our lives, they are so, so fragile. Just look at how our entire society, in a matter of months or even weeks, has been turned completely upside down. Things have changed so much in the past few weeks. Who even knows what's going to be left standing at the end of it? It's so fleeting. So tenuous. Vapor. Hevel. Tell you what, I am glad my hope is not in this world. Because this world is as stable as quicksand. Everything we know and everything we rely on is getting shaken at the moment. But the writer of the book of Hebrews is very keen to point out that there is certainty in an uncertain world. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." See, in such a shaken world, we need to rely on something unshakable, something that can never be shaken. That is the world that Jesus came to bring. We need hope beyond this world and beyond this life. And I thank God that because of Jesus, we have just that. If we are willing to come to Him, to make Him our Lord and make Him our Saviour, because He lives, He can change everything. Because He lives, let me tell you, He will return. Because He lives, He will build a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Not just will not, cannot be shaken, and will know no end. And because He lives, you can be part of it. Because He lives, He is your only hope. He is your greatest need. I'm alive because He lives. Let me tell you, Jesus can help you at where you are today, no matter what you're going through. He can do it because He lives. Not only is He right now at the right hand of the Father, He lives in each and every one of us who makes Him Lord. His Spirit lives within us and enables us to live a life that follows Him. Let me tell you, there's no question to me about whether you need Jesus or not. Or if Jesus is for you. You absolutely do. We all absolutely do. The question is not of your need. The question is of your response. You know, Jesus has done everything He needs to do to save you from hell and to give you heaven. On the cross, He cried out, "It is finished. It is accomplished. It is done." He then rose again and conquered death. The question isn't, has he done enough? The question isn't, do you need him? The question is, will you respond to him? Your eternal destiny can change in one moment. All it takes is a response and a step into faith. You believe that Jesus is the only Son of God, that he died, that God raised him from the dead, and you proclaim that he is Lord. You come to him in repentance. That means you come to him sorry for your sin and committing to turn away from it. You make him your Lord. And your life can be transformed in a moment. I'd like to pray. What I'm going to pray is a prayer of commitment. If you don't know him, and you're willing this morning to take that step into faith, then pray this with me. Don't just pray this as a test. Don't pray this lightly. There's nothing in the words themselves, because the decision happens in here. But if you want to make that decision, if you want to change your life, if you want to become committed to him and let him transform your life, both in this world and the next, then pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. And I thank you that you rose again and defeated death. Jesus, I acknowledge my need for you. Jesus, I acknowledge that without you I have no hope. And Jesus, I ask that you forgive me my sin. Lord, I repent of those times I've been selfish and chose my own way. Thank you for your forgiveness. Come into my life and change my life. Be my Lord and my Saviour. And help me live from you from this day on. Amen. If you prayed that and meant that, I'd love you to get in touch with us. Or get in touch with a Christian that you know. And share with them that you've prayed that prayer. Let me tell you, we'll be delighted to connect with you and talk with you, pray with you, and help you take those first steps into a brand new world. It's been many, many years since I prayed that prayer. I've regretted a lot of things in my life. I've never regretted that. Because he lives, he changed my life. And he can change yours too. God bless you.